gotta test something. So, my name is Harry Houghton. My name is Christian Harry Houghton.
Shabbat Shalom. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel Yaniquia Hawkins. I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It is a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. It is a privilege and an honor to turn it over to one of the daughters of Yisrael Abel, Kana Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
My name is
Yisrael Abel Talia Hawkins.
For a priestess,
today we have an honor to give the speakers.
So get your pens and paper.
And join me.
It is a privilege and honor.
To present to you.
Our first speaker.
That is a label.
Come on.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Kana, and the title of my speech today is Hang On to the Desire to Do Righteousness. Let's begin with Galatians 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing righteousness, for in due time we will reap if we do not faint, if we endure to the end." This scripture is telling us not to lose our desire for doing righteousness. The definition of the word desire from dictionary.com is a longing or craving as for something that brings satisfaction or enjoyment. Everyone in this world has desires, and it is a fact of life that people act upon their desires. This means that if you have a strong desire for something, you're going to do everything within your power to make sure that you get that desire fulfilled. So if your desire is to come to this upcoming Feast of Pentecost, for example, then you would do anything you can to make sure that you make it to the feast. Because that's your desire and that's what you want to get accomplished. On the other hand, if you don't have a strong desire for something, you won't want to have much to do with it. For example, I don't like squash. I don't have a desire to eat it. So whenever my mom puts this lovely plate of squash in front of me, I don't put an effort to eat it because I don't have a desire to. In the same way, if we don't have a desire to stay here and do righteousness, a strong want to become righteous, we won't put our best effort to do so. And that's when we begin to grow weary, and we begin to faint, and we become insincere. It's at this point that most people fall away. In their position in Yah's kingdom, that's one thing they throw away. In order to be able to hang on, especially when times get hard and we're experiencing and going through our tests and trials, we have to have a strong desire to become like Yahweh. We have to have a strong want for it. Our great overseer even says this in the fourth book of Yisrael, the reverence of Yahweh, number 4, verse 13. He says, when you worship Yahweh, you want to do what he does and become like him. That is what you should want. That is what you should desire, and that is what you should even lust after. Have a great urgent lust to be like Yahweh. He gives you these great righteous laws. As the kingdom gets closer, it does get harder. But we have to hang on to that desire. Yes, it seems far away, but the truth is, it's actually right around the corner. We don't have much time left. We can't afford to be desiring things that are not of Yahweh. The best thing to remember is that there's nothing more desirable than to have a perfect, righteous character just like Yahweh. In conclusion, let's read Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight in great Yahweh, trust only in him, and he will bring to pass the desires of our hearts. I would like to encourage each and every one of you to make it your number one desire to do righteousness. And hang on to it, because our position in Yahweh's kingdom depends on it. It is an honor to speak before you all today, and now I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Brooke Walia. The title of my speech today is We Are Truly Blessed. On the news, tell me what you see. Well, I'll tell you what I see. I see murders, young children being taught to kill. I see wars, fighting and destruction. I see children getting killed in a place where they're supposed to go and learn. I see babies being born with two heads and three arms with no opportunity to live. We are truly blessed to be in the house of Yahweh, aren't we? Praise Yahweh. We should be very thankful that we have our overseer, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, who teaches us how to protect ourselves from these things, like the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, so we can work out our own problems without having to strike with a fist or a hand. Eating healthy and clean foods, so we don't have to worry about having cancer and tumors. Taking supplements so we can cleanse our bodies. We should be very thankful for our last day's witness. There are people every day who are suffering, afraid to leave their own homes. Children going to school with fear inside, wondering if I'm going to make it back home. We don't have the fear of bombs dropping all around us. We have to show Yahweh that we are thankful for the blessing of being in his house. We are blessed when we follow the instructions that come from our authorities and from our last day's witness. When we come here on the Sabbaths and the feast days, when we pray to Yahweh three or more times a day, this is how we receive Yahweh's blessings when we keep his laws. If you would turn over in your books of Yahweh to Deuteronomy 28, It's Deuteronomy 28, which is found on page 170. Now, this chapter talks about the blessings and the curses we will receive. Now, if you look over at verse 2, we keep Yahweh's laws when we keep Yahweh's laws, we receive blessings from Yahweh. That's the only way we will receive blessings. If we do not keep Yahweh's laws, we will receive curses. If you will continue to read, you will see the curses that comes from breaking Yahweh's laws. Now, if you would take a look at the first part of verse 4, over in Deuteronomy 28, verse 4, and it says, "Blessed will be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground." Now, when it says the fruit of your body, that means that the children that we have. Now, when we look out in the world at the babies with the birth defects, the laws of Yahweh are being broken. That's why we see the birth defects and diseases in them. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 29, if you would turn over there, it's a page over. It says, "Yahweh will afflict you with madness and spiritual blindness and confusion in the mind." Now, Yahweh do not afflict us. He gave us two choices. He said, if we keep his laws, then we will be blessed. If we do not keep his laws, then curses will come upon us. Do you want to know another way we're blessed? Everyone, look at the person next to you, to your right and to your left. They are a blessing to you. Yahweh called each and every one of us here to be a blessing to this work and to each other. Sisters, we are the most blessed people on the face of this earth. Yes, sometimes I know it's hard to see it because of all the things we go through. So whenever we start to feel like we have no blessings, and I'm speaking to myself as well, look on the news and take a look, and you will clearly see how truly blessed we are. And with this, I'd like to turn over to the next yard of Future Lady.
Shabbat Shalom. My name is daughter of Israel Abel Tehillah Hawkins. And I want to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. May you have a blessed Sabbath. And it's a privilege of honor to turn it over to one of the daughters of for prayer.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. At this time, I pray that great Father Yahweh grant to us today a Sabbath blessings, not only us here, sitting here today, but also those of us who are joining, those who are joining us over the media. May he grant to us as he sees fit and as he chooses. I have the honor and the privilege also to introduce to you today some wonderful servants in Yahweh's house. Young women who have dedicated themselves to work and to serve. They serve in love, Sabbath after Sabbath. They teach and they teach and they teach, and they are here this morning to speak. Let's give them a hand of praise, Yahweh, for that. They learn to be flexible. They learn to stay on task. They learn to find their place and to keep their places in the great house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Now, just before I turn over to their meals that they have prepared for you, I'd like us to do a really quick appetizer. Did you bring your book, The Songs of Praise? Did you bring yours? You did not bring yours. Okay, so here's what we'll do. Since I wanted us to share the appetizers together, let's say I read and you read after me. What do you think? Praise Yahweh. In that way, we all get the appetizer and we can enjoy the meal that our great young teachers have provided for us. So, we are going to sing, read, we're not supposed to sing, Psalm 27, 4 to 8. Psalm 27, 4 to 8. And in our songbook, it is, Your Face We Will Seek. Now, Great House of Yahweh, next Sabbath, the day after next Sabbath is the Great Feast of Pentecost. The day after next Sabbath. True? Yes. And we want to be ready both physically and mentally for the great day of Pentecost. As our great overseer said, he's looking forward for blessings on this great day. So, are you ready for the appetizer? I'm going to read nice, loud, and clear. I pause, and you say after me, please, okay? You can say it loudly. You can go soft. Whatever way you choose. Are you ready? Praise Yahweh. One thing we want, which we desire from Yahweh. We will seek this all the days of our life, that we may dwell in the house of Yahweh, to seek you, to behold your beauty, to ask of you in your sanctuary. Voice fluctuation. In the time of trouble, you will hide us in the secret place of your house. You will hide us. Let's get a little personal there, personal here, and say, you will hide me. You will set us on a rock. Our heads lift up above our enemies. We offer you our sacrifice of joy. We will sing praises to you, Yahweh. Hear, O Yahweh, when we cry to you. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. And answer when we call you. When you said, seek my face. Our hearts say, my heart say, your face we will seek. Praise Yahweh. And with this, our meal now from our great young speakers.
Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Praise Yahweh for another Sabbath day. I hope you all are ready to be encouraged and strengthened by our great lineup of speakers. My title today is Three Things. The Apostle Shaul told us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, to endure in three things. Remember, endure means to persist in or continue with. Can you think of which three things they are? Please turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. On page 896, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, on page 896. And it says, but now these three things endure, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Today my focus is to show you that we were given instruction to continue in these three things, faith, hope, and love. When we are called to the house of Yahweh, or for some of us when we were born here, one of the first things we learned is the faith. Faith from Merriam-Webster's Dictionary.com means belief, trust, and loyalty in someone. Positive law number one says believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. We show that we believe in Yahweh by keeping his laws and by obeying the one Yahweh sent to teach us. That's Yisrael Hawkins, as it says in Yochanan 6 verse 29. This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into him whom he has sent. By practicing Yahweh's laws and obeying the one sent, we can obtain a righteous report from Yahweh, like the holy men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 did, through the faith. Hope is the second thing mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Hope means to desire with expectation of obtainment, or simply put, to look forward to receiving something. Please turn over to Ephesians 1, verse 18. Ephesians 1, verse 18, found on page 916. And it says, asking that since the eyes of your understanding have been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory among the saints. So what is the hope of our calling? Yisrael Hawkins explained this over 30 years ago in the Mark of the Beast books. Reading from the Mark of the Beast, part 2, chapter 18, verses 325 and 326 in the Yisrael Hawkins Says program. It reads, the hope of our calling is the expectation of being a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh is the government of Yahweh. This government will be given to the sons of Yahweh, chosen to be in his family, the house of Yahweh. The promise to those who overcome Satan's deception, who continue to do Yahweh's work until the end, is to receive their hope, eternal life in the governing kingdom of Yahweh. Wow! The hope of our calling is the expectation of being part of the kingdom of Yahweh. So we've covered faith and hope. Which one are we missing? Love, that's right. The greatest of these is love. Please turn over to 1 Yochanan, chapter 5. 1 Yochanan, chapter 5. And verse 3, found on page 866. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his law, and his law is not grievous. Love. No, keeping Yahweh's law is not grievous. In fact, it is the only way to experience true peace, joy, and abundant living. And when we practice keeping these laws, we learn how to truly love one another and great Father Yahweh. Pastor told us in the fourth book of Yisrael, chapter 18, verse 133. He said, if anyone says, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen. How can he love Yahweh whom he has not seen? The only way you can see Yahweh is through his commandments, his laws, statutes, and judgments. That's how you see him. Look at his laws, how perfect they are, how they teach you love for one another and teach you love for Yahweh. In closing, remember, have faith in the one sent. Believe in him by following his instructions. Hope and look forward to Yahweh's kingdom coming, where we will receive our crowns. And lastly, hope, and lastly, love. Love Yahweh's way. This is the only way that will stop all sickness and suffering in the earth today. Now I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Maybe see it. Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh, may the peace of Yahweh be with you. Is everyone having a blessed Sabbath? I can't hear you. Yes, praise Yahweh. Okay, let's reflect on why we're here. When we come to the great house of Yahweh, we are trained for many jobs, such as servants, teachers of peace, and righteous priests and priestesses. This list can go on and on. But today, I would like for you to add another job title on your long list. We all must become an Oki. I'm not certain everyone knows what an Oki is, so today I will share with you how to become a true Oki. Today, the title of my speech is Who We Gonna Be? Welcome to the world of the Oki mindset. Because Okis are active listeners, I would like for you to count how many times you hear the word Oki in my speech starting now. We learned from the greatest Oki on earth, Yisrael Hawkins, who taught us the only subject he knows, Okiology, which is the study of Oki's teachings. Today, you will have to make an Oki glossary as I break down all these Oki terminologies. We've all studied for many years at this Oki University. This professor teaches his students with stammering lips and with another tongue, found in Isaiah 28:11. He teaches us how to talk like an Oki, walk like an Oki, read like an Oki, sing like an Oki, and even count like an Oki. He's taught us how to count to 3, and now we're counting to 50. At the end of this journey, we will be in unity, receiving the gifts of Spirit Holy. What day of the Omar is it? Yes, correct. Okay. After the end of this process of learning from the greatest Oki on earth, Yisrael Hawkins, we will be qualified as Okified Okies, 100% purebred of supreme quality. That is the true Oki. And we must become just like him. We will become the image of Yisrael, who is the image of Yeshua, who is the image of Yahweh, and we will become sons and daughters of Yahweh. It is a known fact that all Okis are peacemakers. Yahweh shows who will be the ones to bring peace to the world and all the universe. In Zechariah 3:8, this scripture says, Yeshua and his companions are meant to be wondered at. Yahweh said, behold, he will bring forth the branch. In Zechariah 6:12-13, the high priest and the branch, the high priest and the branch will bring everlasting peace. Okay. That is who we're going to be. What are some distinguishing features of an Okified Oki? Okis have deep minds and they talk slowly. They're also problem solvers, critical thinkers, solution finders, motivational speakers, and peacemakers. Okis are also known to be people of integrity and stand up under severe pressure. They demonstrate humility, patience, and when their character is tested, they are found to be of moral excellence. They are renowned to keeping promises and vows, and of course, all Okis study to show themselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15. How do I know all of this about an Oki? Because Yahweh shows he's guiding Yisrael, our great teacher, to train and bring forth this purebred of people through the genealogy teaching found in the 14th book of Yisrael. We are not the royalty with blue blood. We are the royal people, the purple royal people. So where does this Okified Oki come from? Let's hear it from the greatest Oki's mouth himself. Please play the song.
We're training for the arrival. sins. Practicing redemption with Yahshua.
So where does the Okies come from? This Okie-fied Okie? Abilene! Yes, Okie-fied Okies come from Abilene. We Okies in these last days gets our teaching from the one-cent Yisrael Hawkins. I know even though we Okies do have deep minds, some of us might be going through an Okie overload at this time. So how many times have you heard the word Okie being said? Okay. When I tried to count, I also too went through an Okie overload. So to be simple, my answer was many or several times. So here is an Okie tongue twister that can help us out of the Okie overload. I'll place this list of words that is from the Okie glossary at the back of the sanctuary on the Okiefication board that will break down all these Okie terminologies that teaches the study of Okieology, which will make us into Okie-fied Okies 100% purebreds. I forgot to add one more word from the Okie glossary, so see if you can catch it in my closing. I thank you for allowing me to share what it takes to have an Okie mindset. You do have a wonderful Okie-rific day. And now I turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My topic today is rejoice through your tests and trials. Through all the trials and the day-to-day grind, we tend to forget that we need to rejoice because the tests are hard and stressful. But in Corinthians 10:13, if you can turn there. It says, there is no temptation taking hold of you except what is common to man. And Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Satan is so smart and she does her job well. She knows the exact time to get us. And her temptations are strong. And we're trying our best not to get caught in her traps. And when we're doing all that, we tend to forget to count our blessings. Sometimes we may think that Yahweh has forgotten us because of how hard and exhausting these tests and trials are. But Yahweh knows our hearts. He knows he has not forgotten us. He is watching us right now. He's guiding us in his path, and he's not forcing us to follow his way. He gives us a choice of which tree we want to follow. Yahweh sees everything. He sees our efforts. He sees what you have perfected, and he also sees your faults and weaknesses. And he gives you another opportunity to fix your mistakes. So as we're trying our best to stay strong and not fall, and to hold on tight like a bulldog and never stray, as these tests are coming, we tend to forget to rejoice and count our blessings. So let's find a way to rejoice through these tests. So you have some homework. Write down as many blessings you can think of. I'll give you a few main ones. We're here at Yahweh's house protected. Number two, we're taught by the greatest teacher in the world, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins. And number three, we have yummy, clean food here to eat, and our fruits and vegetables that are grown here have no chemicals and pesticides. Those are just a few, but we have lots of blessings, and if we remain strong, he will give you lots more blessings, just as he blessed Eob. So let's rejoice when Yahweh blesses us. If we can turn to Deuteronomy 26, verse 11. It says, as you shall rejoice in every fine thing Yahweh your Father has given to you and your house and to the Levite and the stranger who is among you. And so you need to obey Yahweh so that you may be blessed, as it says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you because you obey Yahweh your Father. So let's not be sad. Let's walk around with a smile. And if you know you're always grouchy, make yourself a little smiley face and hold it up so no one sees you're having a bad day. And when you wake up in the morning, tell yourself that it's going to be a great day and make it one. And remember to always be positive, no matter what's occurring. And with that, may Yahweh bless you. And I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title is, We Are Invited to the City of the Sky If We Come Into Unity. In the second book of Israel, chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, If you received a letter by the President of the United States, I'm sure that you would feel a certain amount of honor from that, especially if he wrote it to you personally, inviting you to come and see him or come be a member of his staff. You would probably feel a certain amount of honor from that. Hopefully you wouldn't. Hopefully you're above that, Overseer says. The very highest being in the universe has written you a letter, inviting you to be part of his staff. Brethren, that's an honor to me. I know that the highest being in the universe is testing me to see if I can qualify for a position. Not only is he testing me, he's guiding my every move. He's telling me everything to do so I won't slip up and make a mistake, so that I can become worthy. What I want to show you today is that in order to make it into Yahweh's kingdom and have a high position, we must be in unity with Yahweh, Yahshua, and Yisrael Hawkins. This is the quote that inspired my speech, because Yahweh, before there was even a such thing as a mankind, before he drew the circle of the earth, before any of that was even done, he knew each and every one of us. And he individually handpicked us to be a part of his staff forever. Now, it's up to each and every one of us to accept that. And to become perfect like Yahweh, so he will accept you just like he accepted Abel in his offering. Remember, each thing that we think, do, and say shows Yahweh that we truly desire to be a part of his staff forever. Or we would rather hang on to the foolishness and the stupidity of the world that the sons of Israel were talking about last week. And when we hang on to the sin, we show Yahweh that we are not in unity with him. Another thing is to set our minds in advance, not to let even the smallest sin, or what we think is the smallest sin, hinder us from our goal of being in Yahweh's kingdom forever. So, think about who your friends are. Are they helping you to achieve your position, or were they really not a great friend to start with? When you're with your friends, or your so-called friends, are you gossiping, tearing down the work, or your sisters? Because a real friend would encourage you to talk about the classes or how great Overseer's sermon was. Praise Yahweh. Okay, so turn over to Hebrews 10. And verse 24. That's on page 949. Page 949. Hebrews 10:24. He says, and let us consider one another. Take a minute, stop and think. Stop and think about your sister. Are we putting a stumbling block in front of them, or are we helping them come to perfection? How we may urge one another on toward love and righteous works. In Positive Law 20, it says, build up the holy house of Yahweh. And that's also to do it with our words and actions, not to tear it down. Sisters, everything we think, say, and do must be in complete, 100% complete unity with Yisrael Hawkins, Yahweh, Yahshua, and the house of Yahweh. And if we are all in unity with that, we can all be in unity with each other. Our authorities, such as the Kohanas, head judges, judges, parents, teachers, guardians, counselors, they're all helping us to come into unity and to be accepted by Yahweh into the city of the sky. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next teacher.
Shalom, Everyone, you may be seated. Today, my title is, Where is Your Battery Charger? Today, we're going to find our charger. So, we are the phone, and this is our charger. Now, the phone gives us signals when it's running out of batteries. And we, too, have signals when we're running out of battery. But do you know your signals? Well, some signals, maybe, well, from my experience, I'll share. When you're really tested and the heat is on and you don't really know how to deal with that situation, and especially if we don't have a charger or we didn't charge, we probably wouldn't really deal with that test properly. Also, being less motivated. And less motivated can be being less motivated in anything. It could be in your studies. And you know that moment when you say, oh, I'll do it the next day, or maybe the next day, and by the time you know it, it's been a week without studying. Another thing of being less motivated is also to work. You know, when you wake up in the morning, oh, I don't really feel like working, or should I even work today? Well, I didn't mention all of the signals, but if you do remember any, write them down or try to remember your signals so that you're able to charge yourself when you know when your battery is running low. And usually when the phone warns us or gives us the signals, like what I was saying, it gives us 15%, 14%, 5%, or 1%. Well, my experience with the 1%, some reason I can never get to the charger fast enough, or either like right when I get to the charger it shuts off, or right before I get to the charger it shuts off. So pretty much I think when it's on 1% it's telling you it's going to shut off. So let's try not to get our battery to 1%. But it is okay if you are already at 1% or even shut off, because you can always plug in the charger. So let's charge ourselves spiritually. And the only place we can get spiritually charged is at the house of Yahweh. And in Deuteronomy 16:11, I'll just go ahead and read it, says, you shall rejoice in front of Yahweh your father, you and your wife, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite who lives within your city, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow among you, all the place Yahweh your father chooses to establish his name. So come to the house of Yahweh, come to the feast, the Sabbath, your appointments with Yahweh, you know, to come to services and listen and learn, and also in classes to fellowship with others as well. And the charging is endless because we still are able to charge ourselves without an outlet, because nowadays everything is portable. So you can charge yourself with a portable charger. Watching the classes online and the sermons. But even if you don't have internet or you can't go online, you can always buy the CDs and the MP3s to listen to the sermons and classes. And studying is another. And music. The HOI music and the HOI songs, they have really great words if you really listen to them, and they're really encouraging, especially if you're going through tests. And also, how many of you got the game called Bring the Light? It was mentioned during the feast. Praise Yahweh. I realized, well, me and my family was playing it last week, Sabbath, and I realized how much I forgot what I've learned. And that actually makes me want to study more, because I realized that I got the wrong answer and I want to know, you know, how did I even get that wrong answer? How did I not know the answer? And so these are just some of the ways we can charge ourselves spiritually. And if I can have my slide, it's an acronym for the word charger. Okay. It's come home and recharge, getting energy righteously. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Priscilla, you may be seated. Today the title of my speech is Trust in Yahweh and Yahweh is Trustworthy. Do you know anyone that you really, really trust? I mean, like, really trust. Someone that you would trust with your life. One of the reasons you can trust that person is because of their character. You wouldn't trust a thief or a liar, but you would trust someone who is honest, faithful, someone who's a person of integrity. Maybe you would trust someone who's merciful, compassionate, long-suffering, abounding in righteousness and truth. So in essence, your trust is only as great as the person you put it in. Yahweh is trustworthy. The scriptures tells us this. I'm going to quote it from Psalms 32, verse 6, on page 445. For this cause shall the righteous pray to you in a time when you may be found. In times of siege, Yahweh is better than a fortress, and he cares for those who trust in him when the flood rushes on. Though we can't see the path that lies ahead for us with all the tests and troubles, Yahweh is in full control, and he always cares for those who trust in him. He will always make a way of escape. Yahweh always protects his servants and those who obey him. Psalms 91, verse 14 to 15, on page 471, says, Yahweh says, because you have set your love upon me, I will deliver you, cause you to escape. I will set you on high because you know my name. You will call me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble, and I will deliver you and honor you. We are only truly protected when we put our 100% faith and trust in Yahweh. The false religions of the world, the gods of the world, cannot protect us any more than money, possessions, or power can. Yahweh knows each and every one of us. He has a plan and a purpose for us all. And he is with us and guiding us on our journey to perfection. Sometimes you can find yourself in a position where you feel like this is it. And how in the world am I going to get out of this one? A couple of months ago, I did. I started thinking that the test was too hard. Then I remembered that a couple of months ago, I was going through the same thing. And it worked out. And a couple of years before that, I was going through a hard test, and it worked out. Yahweh is trustworthy. He will never let his servants down. Look at the scriptures. Every example in the scriptures, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hadassah, Iob, all those examples, and Yahweh always pulled through. If we trust 100% in Yahweh, and believe in him and obey him, then he'll always be there for us. The other day, something occurred with my car, and it wasn't working. And I was really late for work, like 2 hours. And when I got there, I was like really worked up and upset and worrying about it. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do for the rest of the week, and I was kind of freaking out. And my grandma said something to me. She was like, is worrying going to change anything? I was like, no. She said, is worrying going to fix your car? I was like, no. So then why are you worrying about it? You have no control over what's going to occur. So then don't worry about it. Just put your trust in Yahweh, quit worrying, and get back to work. And everything did work out. It got fixed. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, on page 923 says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Yahshua Messiah. Never once in the scriptures does it say to us, just go figure it out, or you're on your own with this one. It always tells us to trust in Yahweh. It always tells us to pray to Yahweh and that Yahweh will always be there for us. He's always in full control and he will always come through for his servants. And with that, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. The title of my speech is My Best Friend. I was 6 years old when I met my best friend, and it took a while before we got along really well, but over the years, we've been pretty close. My best friend is a great teacher. My best friend has taught me that with Yahweh, all things are possible. In Yochanan Mark 10, verse 27, that's page 771, then Yahshua, looking at them, said, "For men it is impossible, but not for Yahweh. With Yahweh, all things are possible." My best friend has also taught me that Yahweh answers prayers. In Yaakov 5:16, on page 956. The earnest prayer of a righteous man is effective, powerful. My best friend gives great encouragement. Psalms 20, verse 4, page 441. May he grant you your heart's desires and cause all your plans to succeed. On page 906, 2 Corinthians 9, 8. These are my best-liked scriptures, by the way. And Yahweh is able to make all blessings abound toward you, that you, always having all that you need in all things, may have an abundance of every righteous work. My friend is a great storyteller. I enjoy listening to stories about kings and queens, animals, extreme weather conditions, children growing up in righteousness, and rainbows. Wouldn't you like to meet my best friend? Not yet. We have a few more clues. We may be tested physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. But remember, Yahweh is in full control. In Revelation 21:4, and Yahweh will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor will there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. In Malachi 4:2. And that is on page 727. But for you who reverence my name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go out like calves released from the stall. 1 Kefa 2:9, page 958. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you would show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. My best friend can become yours too. My best friend enjoys comforting us. My best friend weighs 6 pounds and wears a new purple outfit. I'd like to introduce to you the Book of Yahweh. I encourage you to love and care for your best friend. Our best friend is back and is here to stay. I would like to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak. Would you please stand and welcome another best friend?
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Wow, those are some really great speeches so far, and they really prepared for what I would be speaking on today. And if I can please have my first picture. Y'all all remember the rainbow that was seen on 5/8/16, right? Okay, so what do you see in that picture? You got all four colors that Yahweh gave us, and then you to the right, you can see the number. What? If you can't see it, can we please have the next slide? We see a number there that means several things. There you go, 81. You remember that, right? Okay, that 81 has a lot of meanings to it, and it's stuff that would help, if we think on these things often, it will help us to endure our tests. Now, that when it was seen was 5816, and that number traces back to 5810. And it means, this is all Hebrew, to strengthen, prevail, to be strong. And what was part of the theme for this feast? Righteousness prevails, right? And the gates of hell will not prevail. And number 81 in the Hebrew means powder and dust, and light dust particles, to float away. And in the Greek, it means brotherhood, brothers. So if you take those meanings and think about what we've been taught here in the House of Yahweh about powder and dust, that's the first thing we're going to go to. If you'll all turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. By the way, I forgot to tell you, my title is Yahweh gave us four colors, but will allow mankind to bring about three colors. Okay, so Deuteronomy 28 and verse 24. And it says, Yahweh shall make the rain of your land powder and dust. But we know it will come to pass that you will cause the rain of your land to be powder and dust. And from heaven it shall come down upon you until you are destroyed. So that right there is describing the nuclear bomb. And Pastor mentioned this in the Mark of the Beast, Volume 2, many, many years ago. And on page 126, you can see there's a picture. And if you can't see that one right here, you may recognize this from this morning's class. If you went to class this morning, you saw the nuclear bomb. That's a combination right there of three colors. And in Revelation 19:17, it says here, it tells us the fire, Jason, and brimstone are the colors, red, yellow, and blue. These fires are the nuclear bombs that are brought on by the religions who've rejected Yahweh's laws. And like Isaiah said, like in Jeremiah 23, they have not kept Yahweh's laws and they haven't kept the people in his way. Now, in the birth of the nuclear baby, you can find some more of this information about what brings this blasting, the heat, the scorching, the inflammation, the sword that will kill one-third of man over the fourth part of the earth. And then after that, they still won't repent. But how do we tie in the picture? The number 81 in Greek also meant brothers and brotherhood. That means the house of Yahweh in the last days, that Yahshua said Yahweh would establish this house and he would be the high priest over it. And he's leading and guiding the branch who, if we are in unity with him, we'll have that power to fully come to those four colors that Yahweh showed us in the sky there. And we can fully put our trust in these things. Can everyone look up there to the middle of the sanctuary where you see the donkey cloud? You see that right there? Who saw that very first sign? Yes, Pastor did. And where in the scripture did it say he was going to? Well, one place is Matthew 24, and right there you can see Yahshua was explaining what it would be like in the last days, and he told his disciples what would be the sign of his coming. And you can see in verse 7, nation rising against nation. Verse 29, the sun will be darkened. Verse 14 shows this joyous message will be preached of the kingdom of Yahweh by the witness Israel. And in verse... where is it at? In verse 30, it says, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Remember, it's his sign. The sign that we prove to believe without seeing first, and Yahweh saw it fit to show us that sign. Now, when we're going through our tests, always remember that Yahweh has big things for us in his plan. And if you can read Psalm 119... on your own time, and verses 49 through 56, it starts off by, remember your promise to your servants, upon which you cause our rest to hope. This is our comfort and our affliction, that your word, the law, and the prophets restores us to life. So remember these things, and as the song goes, Yahweh keeps us and preserves us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Yahweh, we rejoice in you. And with this, if you all please stand, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. I want you to imagine someone very tired,
walking home from a long day of work. Then it begins to rain a little, and then it starts raining a lot. The wind begins to blow stronger and stronger. Then there are loud sounds of thunder that become more intense as they get closer to home. There's lightning that flashes through the sky. Then a tree crashes to the ground in the middle of the road. Needless to say, they are soaking wet. As they arrive home, they come home to find that there's a power outage. Have you ever been in the middle of the storm, soaking wet with a tree falling in your path? Okay, well, the thunder, the lightning, and the rain represent our tests and trials. The tree in the middle of the road and the power outage represent more tests and trials. Have you ever been there? Yes, I have been there too. Sometimes it feels like everything is going wrong and that nothing is going as planned. And that every time we move forward a little bit, there's a setback. Have you ever been there? Yes. Well, it's time to realize that we're not the ones in control. Yahweh is the one in full control of our lives. We're going through the tests and the trials for a reason. There must be something to learn, right? When I was thinking about what I was going to speak, and they said, well, we have to be encouraging, there were a lot of different ideas that came up. But the one thing that I kept thinking about was all of the things, the tests and the trials that I've gone through within just the past few months. And the one thing that I've learned the most is that we can plan and we can make all the plans we want, but Yahweh is the one that is in full control. He's the one that when we're going through the tests and trials, we have to realize there's something that I need to learn. Yahweh wants me to go through this for a reason. Yahweh knows exactly what we need to come to perfection. Okay, so I have a few tips for when we feel like our lives are out of control or things come up that aren't planned, the tests and the trials. Realize that Yahweh is in full control. That's the first one. Now, the second one is thank Yahweh for all he does for us. Third one, tell Yahweh all of our concerns, our worries, the stresses, and then leave them there. Work hard to get past whatever it is, but don't keep worrying and stressing about it. You already told Yahweh, now you have to leave it up to him. It's his plan, right? Okay, so then the next one is maintain a schedule, or try. This one may be a little bit hard with our busy lives, but have something consistent, something, a routine, even if it's just your morning routine, that you do every day. Okay, next one is take butter and honey in all of your supplements so that when we're going through these tests and trials, we can have a clear mind to be able to think and handle them appropriately. Okay, now the next one is think on the bright side. Find the positive in each situation. And the last one is smile. Know that things will get better because Yahweh chose each and every one of you to be a part of his plan. In Psalms 31, verse 29, he says, be of great courage. He will give you strength to those who hope and trust in him. Do we need courage when everything is going okay? No. We need courage when we are facing something difficult, when there's something that seems impossible, when something may scare us. We need courage when we want to give up. Yahweh says he will give strength to those who hope and trust in him. So in order to trust in Yahweh, we have to give him the opportunity to guide us. We have to know and believe that Yahweh is in full control of our lives. So in closing, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of destruction to give you the future you hope for. So think about all of the things that you've heard so far in the scriptures and what we'll continue to hear when you're going through the tests and the trials, and realize that Yahweh is in full control. His plan is what's going to occur. We're going through tests and trials for a reason, so don't give up. And I want to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak today and for teaching all of us Yahweh's laws. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated.
To start off, I have a question that I want to ask you. And the question is, what have you done for Yahweh? So as I'm naming a few things that Yahweh has done for us, I want us to keep in mind. Just start thinking, what are some things that Yahweh has done for you? Number one, he's given us life and he's kept us alive so we can serve him. He gave us his laws, which are the only way to life. In over a 6,000-year period, he gave us a short time to qualify for one of the greatest positions that he has to offer. And then he said, those before us, without us, would not make it. Out of 168 hours a week, he only asks us for 24 to be here to keep his Sabbath day, leaving us 144 hours to do our own work. And then he begs us, please, just choose life. With 365 days a year, he has blessed me with 5,564 days, of which he protected me, he guided me, and he kept me safe. But how many of those days did I faithfully serve him? Yet if I didn't, he gave me the opportunity to go before him and beg him for his forgiveness. How many of those days did I show him that I was thankful, not in words, but in actions? Truly being thankful to Yahweh is keeping his Sabbaths, salting our sacrifices, talking to him at least 3 times a day, serving one another, and so much more. So what have we done for Yahweh? He's so merciful that if we feel like we haven't done enough, he gives us the opportunity to repent, as it says in Acts 3:19. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh. But then not just to repent, but to act upon it, and to give him our very all, like he has done for us. He says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Yahweh even plans us to give us what we hope for, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you the future that you hope for. Let's not forget that one of the most important ways to show Yahweh we are thankful is to show honor and respect to those sitting next to us, to those around us. Yahweh created them too, with the same purpose and the same goal, and then he said, guard and keep. Remember, he didn't leave us to run this race alone, but he gave us companions to help and uplift each other, as it says in Hebrews 10:24. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, and let us consider one another, how we may urge one another onto love and righteous works. So take this time right now to write down 2 things that you're going to do for Yahweh this week. And don't get discouraged, because when we are discouraged, it leads to failure. But when we're positive, it leads us to success. Remember, just push a little harder. Give that one more ounce of energy and strength to Yahweh, because he's given it to us. We can't give up on Yahweh, because he would never give up on us. Remember that he is loving, he's kind, and he's fair. And he won't give us anything beyond what we can bear. To us, he gave his only begotten Son to make an opportunity for everyone. He gave us a path and his laws as a light and begs us, please, just do what's right. So what can we do to show him we care for the true love that he's so kind to share? Of keeping his laws, we must be certain so we can hear the words, well done, my faithful servant. So what have you done for Yahweh? And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
You may be seated. Okay. I'm all around you. Some things you may not see as me, like the test. What am I? I am blessings. Today I'm going to discuss the blessings, or the things that the world considers as blessings, and the things that we, the house of Yahweh, know are blessings. So the first thing is, the world considers blessings as cars, money, vacations, and fame. Now, I want you to remember that blessings aren't always tangible things. With all the things that the world considers as blessings comes negative influences, such as worldly music, books, and TV shows that throw us off the straight and narrow path and from us reaching our goal. Now, remember Hebrews 10:24 that says, urge one another on towards love and righteous works. Yes, urge one another, because these times are hard. Now, we've heard many times before and many times today that we are truly blessed to be a part of the house of Yah and to be called out of the house of Yahweh. Now, how many of us have really thought how true that statement is? Now think and know that it is truly an honor to be a part of the house of Yahweh. So now, since we know that it's an honor to be here, what are some blessings that we have being in the house of Yahweh? Number one is Yahweh's protection. How many of you have ever been in a situation and thought, if it wasn't for Yahweh, this one, something else would have occurred? Number two, the clean food. Do you know how many people die because the food line is not dealt with properly and because of the genetically modified foods? Number three, seeing the prophecy being fulfilled, knowing, being told, and then seeing it coming to pass. It's an amazing thing. The next thing is the knowledge that Yahweh has, the books that Yahweh has gave us that has so much knowledge in it. And without our great teacher, Israel Hawkins, we would never be able to understand it. Now I want to read in the 10th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 10, and verse 59. And it says, now people, don't let people drag you off that. Yahweh says, find your place in the house of Yahweh, and whatever you're assigned to do, do it with all your might. That's what the scripture actually said, whatever you're assigned to do. Well, of course, the priest will assign you to do something. Whatever it is, do it with all your might. And do it like you know that Yahweh is looking at you, is watching you. There's where your blessings will come from. There's where your gifts should come from. Not from people, but from Yahweh himself. He sees in secret, but he will reward you openly if you do everything that you are told to do. So remember, our job is to be teachers, to learn what to teach and then teach what we've learned. So whenever you don't think you can take it any longer, when it's too hard, remember the blessings that Yahweh has gave us. And remember, our overseer said, it's not going to be easy, but if we hold on like a bulldog and we stand strong, we will receive our ultimate goal to enter into Yahweh's kingdom. And with this, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Let's go ahead and give a hand for all of the speakers this morning. The speeches were very encouraging, and I want to ask you a couple questions. How many of you are sure that you're going home today, sure of how you can be a true Okie? And if you're having a hard day or you're grouchy, what are you going to do? Bring a smiley face in your bag. And the other thing that we're always going to remember to have with us, battery charger. Okay? Okay, and we also heard about rejoicing, trusting in Yahweh, and counting our blessings, and remembering that Yahweh is in full control and his plan is perfect. So if you'll turn with me in your books, Yahweh, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is actually one of my best-liked books in the book of Yahweh. We're going to read Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It says, now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes it seems like we don't see perfection or we don't see joy all the time, but it's the substance of things that you hope for and the evidence that they're there even though we can't see them right now. He says, for by it the men of old obtained a righteous report. And down in verse 15, he gives a list, before verse 15, he gives a list of people who, through the faith, did and experienced incredible things. And then he says, in verse 15, and truly, if they had been thinking of the country which they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they long for a better kingdom, that is, a heavenly. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their father, for he has prepared a city for them. And no one was stopping them back then, the people back through the ages. Nobody was stopping them from going back out into the world, but they held on. In verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through the faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned the armies of the aliens to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection." And then down in verse 39, he says, "And all these, having obtained a righteous report through the faith, have not received the promise." And they knew that. They knew that the kingdom wasn't coming in their day. They were holding on to Yahweh and to the work for something that was coming many generations down the line. And he says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we are also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, heaven and earth are all looking at us right now to see what we're going to do. He says, let us lay aside every weight, every hindrance, and the sin which so easily entraps us. And let us run the race that is set before us by Yahweh with endurance." And then he says, "Looking to Yeshua, the first who was led and perfected by the faith, who for the joy that was set before him and through his tests and trials and everything that Yeshua had to face, he was still rejoicing. He endured the sacrifice, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh." And sisters, we have to always remember that Yeshua, in Hebrews, Yeshua, he was tested and tempted with the same things that we are tested and tempted with. And he made it, sisters, and we can make it too. So I just want to encourage you, we can do it. We have everything we need, all the examples we need, all the answers, and all the encouragement that we need in the book of Yahweh. We can make it, we can do it, we can overcome, and we can endure until the end, sisters. And with that, if y'all please stand. I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Judge Kalia.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'd like to tell you about my first conference, a very important conference I had with very important people in my life. And it was a very, very serious topic. I was at the age of 5, and my cousins were the most important thing in my life, and I was the youngest. So we all gathered around in a circle, and we discussed this topic. What is your most loved color? And of course, because I was the youngest, I had to go last. Everybody went around, and my sister, who's just a year older than me, she said, "Yellow." And guess what? That was my most loved color. Because when I was little, I remember having this blanket that was yellow, and I just loved the thing, and I had to sleep with the thing, carry it everywhere. I had to get it washed so many times, but it was yellow. So I know my most loved color was yellow. But the rule was, if someone said the color, you can't say the color. And of course, I had a lot of cousins, so we ran out of colors. So at the time, I didn't know the different shades of yellow. I could have said gold or something, right? But I had a really nice cousin, and she's so sweet to me. And she said, "Well, you can have my color. It's green." And I was like, "Green." But I took green. You know, I took green because I'm the youngest and I want to be part of it. So my most loved color was green and still is green to this day. But isn't it strange how we just had green last Passover? But this color green, whoever knew? Green, whoever knew? And that's my title. Because I never knew. For many years, I did not know how beautiful the color green was until I came to the house of Yahweh. And that was many years ago when I finally came and stayed here forever. I met lots of sisters who loved the color green. I mean, they loved the color green. And I was like, ooh, I feel kind of awkward because I faked that I like green for all these years, and these people grew up loving green. And I never had a green shirt. I never had green anything. You could tell I didn't like green. But this color green, let me give you a little bit facts about it. This I'm pulling from humanhealth.com, nurseryabout.com, coloreffects.com, and biopulse.org. Okay? Now, the color green relaxes the body and alleviates the stress. The color green is also associated with health, healing, well-being, and green has a soothing effect on the body and mind, reducing anxiety and promoting concentration. There was even a study made where when they put a green transparent plastic over a reading material, it actually improved those who were struggling with reading. So that's pretty interesting. Green is also a positive color. It represents harmony, balance, refreshment, universal love, rest, restoration, and peace. Now, I'm going to dig into some meat here, okay? So I hope you can follow. This is from that biopulse.org. And it talks about color therapy. I don't know if any of you ever heard of that. Color therapy, and this is so true. And these people, they did a lot of study on color. Color is a living energy. So it's alive. Microorganisms, right? Alive. It is a property of light. Light is an electrical magnetic energy produced by the sun in different wavelengths, which we learn in school, different wavelengths, the color. Now, it is revealed that the length of a wave defines its color. In our environment, there is an enormous quality of waves with different frequencies and characters, which gives us all this color around us, okay? But moreover, concrete frequency and color corresponds to each organ. So different colors actually affect certain organs in your body, even though it's on the outside. For some odd reason, this energy affects the organs in your body. And it can be used directly on the body's health and your immune system, okay, and strengthening it and affecting the body and your emotions. So this green is an amazing color. It's full of life, full of life. Now, if you remember in your book of Yahweh, because it's not just, you know, these research that I want you to hang on to, but the book of Yahweh, if you turn with me to page 649, it's in Yekiskia, and we know if you love your book of Yahweh, this is a really nice page because it lists down all the stones on the high priest's breastplate. Page 649, and I want you to look on the side under the letter F. It says, in Exodus 28:17-20, the 12 stones on the high priest's breastplate represents 12 righteous qualities Yahweh wants his people to develop within themselves and pass on to their offspring, the 12 stones. This is something they wanted to pass on. Keep that in mind, okay? These stones. Now, we know that emerald is one of the stones, and it's of the darker green. So let's go ahead and read that. That's in number 6 underneath F, emerald, to heal. To heal. And we all know we're all looking forward to this because we're all suffering aches and pains. We know people who are suffering beyond what we can ever think of. And we have this stone, don't we? But did you not know that you sort of have this stone? You are proving yourself for this stone. And that is through your words and your action. if you can prove to Yahweh that you can heal people with your words and action, what greater would it be when you can just touch them and heal them physically? So I want you to consider it, everyone, everyone. Whether you are a child, whether you are a mother, are you healing your child with the words and your action, with your decisions? Children, are you choosing to heal your mother who has guided you, has given up the world for you because you are now her world? Are you helping her and letting her know that, Mom, it's okay. Don't get hurt by this. I'm here. I'm here to receive that emerald too, right? Because remember, it's something that we're going to inherit and we want to pass down for generations. But also, as fellow sisters, are we doing the same thing with our words and our actions? Are we healing one another? Are we healing one another? Remember that in grade school, we learned that the color green is made out of yellow and blue. Yellow in the house of Yahweh. Yes, it's a shade of gold, okay? It is a shade of gold, and it is purified. And blue, it represents their righteousness, the laws of Yahweh. And you will put them together. If we would put these two colors together, we become that green. Remember that we are putting on the green. We are putting on this power to heal. And remember the sermons that we are those green trees in Revelations, rooted in the fertile ground of the house of Yahweh. And we are going to heal the nations. Yes, physically, but we can do it spiritually as well. So if you all please stand. I'd like to introduce you to a very strong green tree rooted in the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, righteous saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Did you ever sit down to study and all of a sudden you realized somewhere you didn't start, you're not where you started from, and you're not even sure what you were studying in the first place because your mind is so somewhere else? Well, that's where I was when I came to this here. The title of this speech is Here. This is something to gossip about. So as I was studying, my mind wandered to the year 1934. I was thinking about it, how it seemed like it seems like every step that our overseer takes is written down by Yahweh's holy prophets of old. Every step he takes, everything he does. I was thinking about his mother, and as they were going over that bridge from Purcell to Lexington, over that river, how they pulled up on the side of the road when they got to Lexington, and how she gave birth to the great white buffalo. In Psalm 1, it says, talking about putting this in reference to our great overseer, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And that's where our overseer was planted. When he came out, he was planted right by that river, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. And whatever this man does will succeed. Yahweh is with him wherever he goes. And it also, I was thinking about that word, Lexington. And I thought, surely Yahweh would not just have him born in just any old city. And I was like, what does Lexington mean? If you could put that camera over on the, there we go, Lexington. So I looked at the etymology of Lexington. Now, I know it sounds like a big word, but all it means is how to break down a word into sections and what it means. It took me a whole week to learn how to say that word, so right now we'll just do the Oki way. So Lexington, let's start with the T-O-N. If someone can take that off, the T-O-N, it means town. So Lexington means town, or the ton means town. And the I-N-G means action. So it means town and action. So I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. So at this point, I said, you know what? Someone said you should really look that up in the Gematria and see what Lexington means. So I did, and it's number 571 in the Hebrew I went there, and it comes from 539. Stability, certainty, true, right, faithful, assurance, established. Now, all those words, we know scriptures come to our mind. The stability of our time, which is in Isaiah 33:6, where it says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of our time, the strength of salvation. The only time that salvation is offered on the face of this earth. And then certainty. That is in Habakkuk 1:5 and 2:3, where it talks about, well, watch with astonishment. I will work a work in your day that you would not believe. But though it seems slow, wait for it will surely come. So then I went to Zechariah 8:3. And this is what Yahweh says in Zechariah 8:3 on page 720. This is what Yahweh says. I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And we were told down in verse 8 by our great Kohen Yehuda that that word Jerusalem means Abel. So I will dwell in the midst of Abel. Then Abel will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of Yahweh of hosts will be called the holy mountain. So now we need to know what is truth. And because at the house of Yahweh, we do not lean upon our own understanding, but we let scripture interpret scripture. We find in Psalm 119, 142, 151 that the law is truth. We have a double witness there saying the law is truth. So then I went on to the number 539, means to build up, to support, to foster as a parent or nurse, to render firm or faithful. To render means to cause, to become, or to make. So at that point, it was the start of his mother that was causing him or making him to become firm in the laws of Yahweh. She did an awesome job, and when we see her, we're going to let her know that too. But in the ninth book of Israel, chapter 12, verse 76, it says, of my family of nine children, as far as I can see, there was no interest in the Holy Scriptures except for me and Jacob, my brother. That was the only two, but we were interested, truly interested. I think I told you that my dad used to say and used to tell me, I can't understand why you want to read that book over and over, he said. I read books, he said, but I don't read the same book over and over and over. But our overseer did, because that was instilled in him. That was part of him. So we know that to build up the house of Yahweh is in Zechariah 6:12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place and he will build the holy house of Yahweh. And now we know history has come to pass and that he did that. When I told the overseer the meaning of the word lexicon, and I know we're not finished, but I bet you all know that word. He said, I wonder, this humble man, our great overseer, this is what he said. We should all always learn a lesson when this man speaks. He says, I wonder what the place of Yeshua's birth means. He always is honoring our high priest, Yeshua Messiah. It's like, wow, he's so amazing to me. So I said, okay. He was born, I thought, Bethlehem. But when I went to the scriptures, it wasn't just Bethlehem. It was Bethlehem Ephratah of Yada, meaning, of course, house of bread, Bethlehem, to give praise and thanks, often the direct object of Yada, the lawgiver, the name of Yahweh, the hand indicating power, hand, side alongside, another term for Yahweh's power. Now, those were all definitions from the Hebrew concordance. But in the gematria, it's, I should have this on the paper. It's number 868, and it's very simple. It means gift. And that's what Yeshua, our high priest, is to us, along with the overseer, the great Israel Hawkins, is a gift to us. So you see, the birthplace of both of these righteous, wonderful men had great meanings that represented who they were and are to us today. Lexington. So, can we take that last thing off? There you go, you can take it off. Lexington means law. Isn't that amazing? What's really amazing when you think of that word, that the law becoming action in a town, the town that he was born in 1934, that was when the law was brought back to us through the overseer, the great Israel Abel Hawkins, which I was supposed to put up because this is what we really always need to be gossiping about, is our great overseer. And, of course, our high priest. I have a lot more definitions for Lexington. I'll give you a few. It means different qualities of Lexington. Always brings to completion anything they start. That's the word Lexington. And we know the overseer does that. In Revelation 10:7. That work is finished and complete. He has an executive ability. He rules as Yahweh rules. He's honest and moral. And he brings forth the plummet in the hand of, it says, in Zerubbabel. In Zechariah 4:10, the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. And you know what I was thinking? And this is just my thought. But that name Zerubbabel, I know our overseer doesn't babble. So I'm thinking that should be pronounced Zerubbabel. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that's the way it should be pronounced. I could go on and on to show how Yahweh has really given glory to our last day's witness. We can stand with him forever and have that same honor given to us, always given honor and glory to Yahweh. And I wanted to talk about this today, too, but I can just see I don't have time, but just keep this in mind. At this time, let us stand. Let us give reverence. I thought I was going to be introducing Kwanaria Shekinah. Then I would have something about the food, because she's a great cook. And I'm not sure how great this next person can cook. But I know what, she can cook up a great meal of righteousness. So get ready.
Shabbat shalom, sisters. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I would like to speak about something very, very special. Rainbows. Not just any type of rainbow, but a very special rainbow. Do you know that there are many types of rainbows? I was amazed with the amount of rainbows it had. First, you have a circular bow. Then you have a cousin called a moon bow. Then you have a double rainbow, triple rainbow, quadruple rainbow. And last but not least, you have a no rain rainbow. Amazing, right? Who'd have ever guessed that? But mine today I'm going to speak about is very, very special. It has only four colors. It was seen here at Abel time and time again. And that's the title of my speech. Chasing Rainbows. I made sure and bring the glitter this time. Chasing Rainbows. On 5/21/2014, Pastor Israel Hawkins made a statement. It was very, very profound to me. It stood in my mind. He said, We should chase rainbows instead of the dragon. Who remember that? To chase the rainbow instead of the dragon. 8 little words, but with big meaning. We will come back to that statement. Most of us probably heard the myths about rainbow. But one myth about a rainbow is when you see a rainbow, you have to run after it, chase that rainbow, and at the end, you will find a pot of gold. And you will be rich. And all your problems will be solved, right? But in reality, that's not true. Believe you me, it's not true. Tried it already. But the book of Yahweh speaks about rainbows, right? So turn with me to Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 12. And it reads, "And Yahweh said, 'This shall be the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations.'" Perpetual generations. "I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Verse 16. "And the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it and remember the everlasting covenant between me and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." So when you read this verse here, those couple of verses, certain things should stick out to you, certain words. He used the word everlasting covenant between him and us, meaning Yahweh and us, his people, and all flesh, and the word sign. The rainbow is a sign of everlasting, which means forever or never ending or eternal. A covenant, which is a promise, a vow, an agreement between us, his people, and Yahweh. This promise Yahweh made to us are forever, because it is impossible for Yahweh to lie, and scripture tells us this. We can find that in Psalms. We can find that in Psalms 19, verses 10. Psalms 89, verses 34 to 35. And it reads, "My covenant I will not break, nor will I change the law that has gone out of my lips. Once for all, I have vowed by my holiness, I cannot lie." Yahweh plainly says he cannot lie, and he does not change his mind. If he says it, he means it, and he will do it. Yahweh has made many promises to his people. At Passover, Pastor Israel Hawkins gave us a challenge. He gave us one question to answer by time Pentecost. Why did the prophet Samuel tell the king Shaul to go into war? Anybody figured it out as yet? Yes? Okay, praise Yahweh. But remember, all actions have a reaction, a ripple effect. But Yahweh promises he will fight all our battles. And we can find this in Yeshua chapter 24, starting with verse 5. And he says, "Then I sent Moshe and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians with the signs that I have performed in it. And after that, I brought you out." Did they have to fight? Sisters, did they have to fight to come out of Egypt? Did they have to use guns, bows, arrows, a cannon? No. Yahweh did it all. "But they cried to Yahweh, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I, Yahweh, did in Egypt." Verse 8, "I brought you out of the land of the Amorites, who lives on the other side of the Jordan. and they fought with you. I put them in your power. I took possessions of their land. I destroyed them from in front of you on your behalf. And if you go on to read these verses, you would see Yahweh did it all. They did not have to raise arms and ammunition to protect themselves. No, Yahweh was their protection. He protected them. That was his promise to them. Sisters, notice all what Yahweh has done and promised us if we serve him and only him and not the gods. He held up his end of the promise. Now it is us to hold up the rest of the bargain. We have to do our part. Yeshua, our perfect example, also reinforced this to turn the other cheek. You can find this in Matthew chapter 5. Remember always, a rainbow represents a forever promise or covenant between us and Yahweh, and forever never ends. Now back to chasing rainbows. Remember the myth about the rainbow with the pot of gold? You get the pot of gold and you'll run to the bank and put it in the bank. But at the end of my special rainbow, have something way better than a pot of gold. Anyone could guess what that is? Whenever the four color rainbow is seen in the sky, it always ends at the house of Yahweh. Not the pot of gold, not any myths or any dragons, and it always ends at the house of Yahweh. And the reward of the house of Yahweh is greater than any pot of gold. We are to desire and love Yahweh's laws more than fine gold. We see this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, and you could write that for your notes. So anytime you see this rainbow, especially the four-color rainbow, remember the promises Yahweh gave to us, the many, many promises he gave to us. As long as we do his will. And if we are as the Messiah, then we will be the seeds of Abraham, which is the heirs of the promise. The pot of gold made the rainbow famous, but we again are making the rainbow famous because we are the house of Yahweh, where signs are revealed, and we are the inheritors of Yahweh's promise. So sisters, where do your reward lies? Is it with the dragon and her pot of gold, or is it with the house of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh for your time. I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. Just excuse me a minute. I'm trying to find something. I don't know where it's at. I had it when I came in here. I can't find it now. That occurs to me a lot. You know what? Did you take it? Maybe it was you, because when I came in here, you didn't speak to me, and you looked at me funny. I think you took my joy. You know, it doesn't take much to take my joy these days. Things are real stressful. It's hard to hold on to your joy. You know, if I had that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, I would be joyful. If everybody would just do what I want, when I want, how I want, where I want, just one day, I'd be joyful. Wouldn't you? I mean, if my family would just pick up their clothes, I'd be joyful. If I had a big, beautiful car with air conditioning, I know I'd be joyful. And what about a big house? Joy. It's hard to hold on to these days. You know, sometimes things occur in your life and they can be really terrible. And I can tell Pastor about it. You know, it's horrible, this thing that occurred, and I'm just heartbroken. And I'll cry my heart out. And when I'm all done, he says,
Well, don't let it ruin your day. Now be joyful and smile. And I walk away and I say, did we just have the same conversation? I mean, come on, I just told him how heartbroken I am. I must be on another planet, you know? And so that's how it goes. That's how it goes if you're counting on anything else to give you joy. If you don't have that joy yourself. And I finally got it. It took me a while. Sometimes it takes me a while. But I understood the joy. And I realized, and I didn't even know I did, but someone I love very dearly said to me not long ago, she said, I just want everyone around me to have peace. And peace and joy are the same thing. If you go on, Israel says, Pastor says joy, he says peace. Because if you have one, you have them both. And I looked at her and I said, well, sure, we all do. What more could you want than your family, your loved ones, the house of Yahweh to have peace? But you can't give it to them. You can't make them have peace. You cannot choose for them. They have to choose. It's up to them. They have to make that choice. They have to want it. Now, just like the Peaceful Character Solution Character Education Program has taught us, we can have it ourselves, and it kind of just radiates from us the joy and the peace, and they might want it. And that's, they might want it. That's their choice. But you can't make them want it. And what if they don't want it? What are you going to do? Are you going to let it take your joy because somebody else doesn't want it? You can't. You can't let it go. You have to hold on to it for your dear life. And think about it. Just what is joy? It took me a long time to really understand this. But in Yochanan 15, 9 through 12, and I'll start reading if you want to turn there. You can go ahead. It's just as the Father, this is Yahshua speaking, just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's laws, and I abide in his love. Now here, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be complete. Now see, the only way we'll ever have complete joy is with Yahweh's laws and with love. Because then in the next verse, verse 12, he says, this is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So sisters, that's all we have to do. We just need to love one another as Yahshua loved us. We can surely do that, can't we? And I tell you, I catch myself sometimes thinking, remembering something somebody else did maybe a while back, and I think, and I get stuck on this thing that, like, how can I remember what they did? Yahweh doesn't remember it. And am I telling them they can't change? Am I limiting my sisters by thinking about what they've done and not what they will do? Shouldn't we be looking at each other as though, if I'm going to tell you right now, if y'all all look back at the things I've done, I'm in trouble. I wouldn't even be here because I have failed so many times. But that doesn't mean that I can't change. It doesn't mean that I can't overcome. It doesn't mean that I can't become a saint of Yahweh. It doesn't mean I won't be in the kingdom because Yahweh didn't give up on me. Yahweh has never given up on me, and he doesn't give up on you. We can do this. And yes, right now things are hard. It's been hard for years, personally, but it's hard. It's very hard. And that doesn't mean having that joy that you're not going to be sad, that you're not going to be heartbroken, that you're not going to have troubles. That, like in Jacob 1, 2 through 4, he talks about, my sisters count it all joy when you fall into various trials, temptations. Well, you know those trials, those temptations, those, as the Peaceful Solution says, stumbling blocks? And I know I read this somewhere, but I could not find it, or Pastor said it. There are stumbling blocks if you stumble, fall, and stay down. But they're building blocks if you stumble, fall, and get up. And that's what we have to keep doing. And we can't, I don't want to remember what I did. I hope nobody else does. And I think that if we just every day said, today, this is a new person. I don't remember nothing. I'm going to treat them just like they're a saint of Yahweh. And it'll help because it's the same as your peace coming out of you, your joy. It radiates. It's a wonderful feeling because, you know, Pastor says, because we know out there, there's no joy. They don't even know what joy is. They have this emotion. It's ah-da-da, and it's over. But they don't know. They have no opportunity unless they come to the house of Yahweh to have joy or peace. But we have it. We have every opportunity. And Pastor says in the 12th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 16, verse 17, he says, well, this is the character of the world, and we know that's sin. And Yahweh is saying to us, go, come here, come to my house in front of me, and I want to see you rejoice. And it's not just about shouting and hollering either. It's about rejoicing, having that, I don't know how you know, I'm sure every one of you know that feeling that I'm here at the house of Yahweh. I mean, we're here. And then he says, and hopefully this joy will build in you, and you will be able to take joy in everything you do. And that's what it's all about, sisters. Everything we do, and no matter what, don't give it up. Nobody can take it, but you can give it up and give everything up. And if you'll play my last little disc or first disc, and that's how I would end my speech, because Pastor is the only one that can really say this right. Okay.
Somebody told me this morning that's confessing and said they weren't as joyful today as they thought they should be. And I said, think about what Yahweh has called you for. The wonderful glory. It's almost unthinkable what he has planned for this group of people right here that he's offering you right now.
Okay, shalom everyone. You may be seated. We're at the home stretch here. And I wanted to just get everyone's kind of mind focused on the energy that's in this room right now. You realize that to every human cell that we have, we've got 10 microorganisms working hard, you know, to govern that cell, okay? So that's just in us, right? So then we have about, I think it's like 60,000 thoughts per second that go through our mind, okay? So that's a lot of energy, just in those two little mechanisms there. Okay, so then you look to your neighbors, right? Well, they got it too, okay? So that's only just next door. Well, then you go behind you, okay? Then you got the whole room. And you got a lot of energy. Now, hopefully, that energy is positive, right? Because that's what we need. But sometimes we have a little bit of negative thoughts that kind of keep on, you know, we're trying to reprogram ourselves. And some of those programs we haven't wiped out completely, and so we get our little negativity going. Okay, and then but it's energy, and it branches out. Okay, so we got to be really just careful. And I just wanted to kind of set your minds, because in doing that, I'll have times where I'll be sitting there and, you know, I get down. And it's just like, no, you gotta have hope, okay? And we spoke about that today. We have to have hope, because I have to be able to tell someone else what hope I have in me. And that's that scripture. It's in Kefa. Excuse me. I'm working. Please pardon. Okay, it's 1 Kefa 3:15. It says, but sanctify Yahweh our Father in your hearts,
And always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. And I took it to myself too. It says, be ready to give an answer to yourself. Because sometimes you have to make sure you're feeding yourself that hope that we've been given. And so there's three scriptures that kind of crossed my path. One of them is Acts 3:19. We all know that one. Then we have Hosea 2:19. And then we have Deuteronomy 15:15-17. Okay, now we've got Acts 3:19 that talks about, you know, converting, repenting. You know, that's what we first do when we first come in the great house of Yahweh. And then we work on that conversion the rest of our lives, okay, until we're made perfect. And then we have the Hosea 2:19. And if you'd like to turn there, it's just a great reminder. Hold on. Hosea 2:19. Excuse me. Which talks about renewing the betrothal. Okay, and this is what we renew every year at Yeshua's memorial. But when you read it, it says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindness, and in mercy. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you will know Yahweh. And that's an incredible thing, to be able to know Yahweh. And that's for us. Okay? And we give that to each and every one of you, ourselves, to each other, when we keep those laws, those judgments, and so forth. Okay? And then the last one is in Deuteronomy 15. Okay, Deuteronomy 15:15-17. And it says, I'm just going to go to, well, it says, you must, it's about the ear awling. And most of us have done that. And sometimes, you know, as the years go by, we kind of forget, you know, what we did. Though I do, you know, I do hang an earring in there, and when I look at it and I go, wow, remember what you did. And it is a great reminder. But it says, you must remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. We were all a part of that world, that beastly system. And it says, in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your father redeemed you. And this is why I command this thing this day. But if he says to you, I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your household and is well off with you. We're in the well-offest place in the whole world. Then you shall take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will be your servant for life. And then to your maidservant, you shall do the same. And so that's what, you know, that's our hope. You know, we want to be here forever, and we want to share in those righteous judgments, those laws that help govern each other and bring forth that joy to one another. And with that, I will give you to the next speaker. Okay, thank you.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech this morning, this afternoon, morning still, is Why Did I Come Here Anyway? Why did I come here anyway? Getting into the kingdom is going to be one of the hardest things that we've ever had to do in our whole lives. Our pastor told us that. Do you remember when he told us that? Well, I'm here to tell you, House of Yahweh, that we're all just a bunch of rubber bands. That's all we are. And I'm going to try to explain this a little bit because, you know, when you come to the House of Yahweh, Yahweh wants us to stretch. He doesn't want us to break. You know, how many of you have ever had a rubber band snap and break on you? It does not feel nice. You come to the House of Yahweh and you're like, oh, I can't do the holidays anymore. Ooh, little bend, little stretch. It's hard, but you bounce back, right? Oh, I lost my job for keeping the Sabbath. That with a little bit more stretch, but you bounce back, right? You bounce back. Then the tests get a little harder because you say, well, now that I lost my job, I might as well move to Abilene and be around all the righteous saints of Yahweh, right? Oh, wow, they're not like that. When I saw her at the feast, she always said shalom to me. She's running so busy, does she even know I moved here? You're stretching a little bit harder now, right? Then you got, well, hey, maybe I'll get involved in the work. I'm gonna get involved in the work full time. Okay, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Don't snap. Don't break. Don't snap. Don't break. Don't snap. Don't snap. Don't break. Don't snap. Don't break. No. No. Okay. All right. Now, do you see what I'm going to talk about today? How many of you have ever experienced any of that, being in the house of Yahweh? Now, it's not that it's bad when you move here. It's great. Moving here was one of the best things I ever did, because when I lived out in the world and tried to come to the feast three times a year, I didn't do very well. Yahweh knew I needed to be here because I'd get caught up in the world. And if we had confessions back then, 28 years ago, I would have been in that confession seat like every 5 minutes. So I didn't need another confession. They would probably know me by name. But when you move here, it's the greatest thing in the world, but it's the hardest thing in the world. When you get involved in the work, it's the greatest thing in the world, but it's the hardest thing in the world. I want you to remember when the light went off and you were so joyous to be here. Do you remember? There's a song about that. You were so joyous. You found the place. You realized that you needed to come to the place. You needed to learn from that man. You understood that there was a one sent and that we needed to learn from him. You understood that the tests and trials and the day-to-day grind might get you down, but that you had to bounce back. You had to be that rubber band. Somehow, the day-to-day grind, when we're in the work of Yahweh, we think of the work of Yahweh as just a job, instead of qualifying for the greatest thing ever offered to mankind. That's what I want you to remember. Because the carnal mind wants us to quit. The carnal mind wants us to shut down. The carnal mind wants us to go and have some fun, rise up and play. Maybe go get a job where you can make lots of money, or, you know, I'm certainly going to get a job at McDonald's or something where there's no stressful people around me. But see, when you leave the work of Yahweh, you're working with people that aren't striving to overcome like you. They're not being tested. They're not being tried. Satan's not wearing them down at every turn. But here in the house of Yahweh, we can turn that into something positive. We can refine each other like fine gold. So I urge you not to quit. Don't shut down. Don't leave to go have some fun. Don't rise up and play. In the fifth book of Israel, chapter 15, verse 89, Pastor said, "So do not become worshipers of gods or Elohim, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Instead of working, they were taking people out of the work." I hope none of us would do that. I hope none of us would talk about how terrible it is in the work and how mean my supervisor is and how hard it is. No, we need to be telling them, if they're having a rough day, "Honey, you're qualifying for something so much better than this. You're qualifying for something so much better than this. We're not just handing out a burger. We're not just pumping up a tire. We're not just what else to be answering a phone. We're not just mailing out a book. We're qualifying for something so much better than that." And we have to remember, the second book of Israel, which is a great book, chapter 24, verse 21, Pastor says, "It's like interviewing for a job. The thing is, this is the greatest job that will ever be offered to mankind. It is being offered to you now, right now. I don't know if you realize how blessed you are in this generation to be called by Father Yahweh himself to his house, and he has called you here to test you. So yes, you're going to be put in a place in the work, but he has to test you. I mean, if you went to work and somebody was throwing flowers at you every day and saying, 'You're the best worker I've ever had. I love the way you answered that phone. You're just so great and awesome and all wow.' Then there wouldn't be the tests and trials. But, so, you know, we go through our day and we're just doing our thing. And we do our thing. Sometimes we forget to say, 'You know, you're doing a great job.' So I want you to look at the person next to you and say, 'You're doing a great job.' Because you are. You know why? You're still sitting here. You're still sitting here being tested and tried. You're doing a fabulous job. When you're not doing a fabulous job anymore is when you throw up your hands and you stop trying. That's when Yahweh can say, yep, you let him know that you could only go so far. I'm not going to let this rubber band snap because I'm just a girl and I don't like to get hurt. Somebody said, you know, you should really let that rubber band like break. And I'm like, oh no, I don't like pain. But just picture it. Yahweh doesn't want to see that in us either. He does not want us to break. In the first book of Israel, chapter 20, verse 94, it says, Yahweh's come to test and prove you, to see if you're fit for his kingdom. This work that he had planned from the beginning, that is what he has for you today, to see if you will keep the 613 laws. Remember, we're striving to become eternal leaders. We've got a great teacher. Eternal leaders. So this is not about us. This is not about me. It's not about you. It's about proving us now. It's about proving me, and it's about proving you. We have to learn how to be acceptable to Yahweh. Do you remember what Yahweh said to Cain? He said, Cain, you have the same opportunity as Abel. You know, picture these two people that maybe they were working together. Did Abel keep showing up for work every day? Where was Cain? He was out and hunting some other sacrifice. So who was acceptable before Yahweh? Who? But we all have that same opportunity, and we can't look at someone else and say, you're the reason. You're the reason that I quit coming. You're the reason that I'm not able. Right? We have a leader that's provided us with everything to have success in this work. When we're being tested, we're being tried, he's given us what we need. It's called the classes, the sermons, the newsletters, one another. So if you're suffering from the playing disease, I want you to keep this in mind, the playing disease, okay? I want you to remember when you have the urge to play, that we have the seventh Moloch. And in Revelation 11, verses 15 through 17, it says, and the seventh Moloch sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, now I want you to remember, this is the seventh Moloch, so we can be a part of this work. Read this right here with me. The seventh Moloch sounded, and voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, you want this world? Well, pretty soon, pastor's going to be announcing, he's the seventh Moloch, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Father and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Don't you crave to be a part of that? Don't you crave to be a part of that? We have to stay in this work. We have to be behind Pastor. We want to be there when he says, yo, the kingdoms of this world, McDonald's, all this stuff out there, all of this is going to be turned into White Buffalo dining centers, House of Yahweh offices, Yahweh fried chicken, all of these things. No, you can't find something better out there. So if you have the urge to play, sisters, from now on, I want you to remember this acronym. Practice. Loving. Almighty. What do you think? Yahweh. And with this, I'd like to turn it back over to the great priest in the House of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you.